and friends, relatives. It's a privilege for us to have you here and to mourn with you the loss of Karen and to celebrate what God has done in her life. As we look at the Bible and what the Bible has to say concerning death, and especially what the Bible has to say concerning grieving, I want to turn to a passage in the Bible which talks specifically to that. It's in a book called 1 Thessalonians. So those of you who have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, the verses will be displayed on the screen and you can follow as it is mentioned. I'll read the passage. It's a short passage. I'll read the passage and then explain what it means. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be always, be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is a passage that a person called Paul wrote to a church. And this was a church which was confused about the coming of Jesus. It was confused about death. And so he writes to them and to clarify what it means for a person to grieve. And so he begins by saying, I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. He says, in other words, he says, I want you to know something. I want you to remember something. And that's exactly what we need to remember this morning. As we grieve, as at the face of death, losing a loved one, the Lord wants us to know something. And we need to know about, it says, about those who fall asleep. It's just a way of saying, those who have died believing in Jesus. We just heard about Karen's life, and what both Maria and Auntie spoke about is that she believed in Jesus. So it's clearly talking about a person who died believing in Jesus, one who is asleep. He says, I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who fall asleep. Now, what's the purpose of this knowledge? Is it just to like fill up your mind and just move on? No, there is a clear purpose for that knowledge. And that's what Paul says. He says, it should achieve something for us. It should result in something, this knowledge. And so he says that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that you should not be grieving at all. Paul doesn't say don't grieve and stop at that. No, he says there is a kind of grieving that he says do not do, which implies it's totally fine to grieve. Death is painful. Losing a loved one is painful. It breaks our hearts, and it is perfectly normal for us to grieve that loss of a loved one. But what Paul says here is something very specific. He says, you may not grieve as others, that is like others, who have no hope. Another way to say the same thing is that grieve, dear brothers, as you think about those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in the Lord, grieve, but grieve with hope. Grieve with hope. Now, what is that hope? What is the reason for grieving with hope? He continues in that same passage in verse 14. He says, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. What is the hope that people have, those who believe in Jesus, when they think about people who've died, who've believed in Jesus, what is the hope that they have? Paul says, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. He came into this world as a man. He lived a life like a human being, like you and me. He died. He was buried. But then he rose again. And Paul says, since Jesus died and he rose again, God is going to do something similar. And that's the hope that we have. He will raise, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. The hope that we have is that death is not the end of the road. Death is not the end. God is going to do something beautiful in the future. And that is what Paul is reminding them. And he says, since you believe that Jesus died and rose again, he will also raise those who have fallen asleep, those who have died believing in Jesus. And so you can grieve, but you grieve with hope. He says in verse 15, for this we declare to you by a word from the Lord. This is not Paul's idea. This is not Paul's imagination. This is not man cooking up something. Paul heard this directly from the mouth of God. And so he says, this we declare to you by the Lord. And these are the words that he says. He explains that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The Jesus who died and rose again is going to come again. And when he comes, his return is going to be visible. It says there's going to be a cry of command. There's going to be trumpets. Everybody is going to know that Jesus is coming back. When Jesus is coming back, it's going to be evident. But what's going to happen when Jesus comes back, when Jesus returns? Paul says, those who died believing in Jesus will be raised first. It's not they may raise. No, they will rise. They will live again. Death is not the end. Death is going to be defeated once and for all. They will rise again. And then he continues. Then we who are alive, who are left, people who are still alive, who are left when Jesus returns, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Did you notice something in that verse? Paul says, we will be caught up together with them. Who's the them? The people who died in the Lord, died believing in Jesus. There is going to be a sweet reunion, when Jesus returns, it's not a goodbye forever. It is the fact that those who have believed in Jesus, they will rise. We who have believed in Jesus will be together with them. And that is the glorious hope that we have. That is the surety of what we believe in. But it doesn't end with that. It gets even better. As we read on, it says, we will be united with them and we will meet the Lord together. We will meet our Creator, the Lord of the universe, the King of kings, the one who gave his life on the cross. We will meet with him together with our loved ones who also believed in Jesus. And notice, it's not a one-off meeting. Paul reminds and he says, and so we will always be with the Lord. Those who have believed in Jesus, they're going to be united, will be united with those who have died believing in Jesus. And both together will be with the Lord forever. That is the hope that we have, dear brothers and sisters. That is why Paul says, don't grieve as others who have no hope. We grieve. We shed tears. But these tears are mixed with a blessed hope, with a glorious hope, with a living hope. And that's what Paul wants us to remember this morning, even as we grieve. Maybe you're here with us and you've not believed in Jesus. You don't know what it means to believe in Jesus. And I want to humbly tell you that the hope that I'm talking about, sadly, is not for you. The Bible teaches us in this passage and elsewhere that this hope is only for those who put their faith in Jesus. Those who believe that Jesus is the only way through which your sins can be forgiven. Those who believe that Jesus' death on the cross is the only way through which our relationship with God can be restored. And so, if you've not believed in Jesus so far, I want to invite you this morning. I want to invite you to believe in Jesus, because your sin, it separates you from the God who created you. Bible says we are born in sin and we continue to sin against God. And our primary sin is against God is that we refuse to recognize who He is, recognize to submit to Him. We rebel against Him, trying to live our lives the way we want to. Bible says God created us and He created us for a purpose. He rightly owns us. He's told us how we ought to live. And when we push Him away and when we say, it's my life, I will do what I want, we're rejecting Him. We're sinning against Him. And the punishment for that sin and that rebellion against God is death. Not just death in this world. Yes, that's going to come one day. But Bible says it's going to be eternal death. What is worse is that when Jesus returns, when I mentioned about those who have believed in Jesus, they will rise from the dead. Everyone else will also rise from the dead. But the key important truth is that those who have not believed in Jesus will not be united with Him. It will be only those who have believed in Jesus. But rather those who have rejected Him, they're going to be standing before God and God is going to judge them and condemn them to a place called hell, a place of torment, a place which is away from the Lord. Why? Because we've sinned against the God who created us. We've rejected the way that He has made for us. And so the just punishment is to be away from Him. But I want to invite you, while this might be true right now, I want to invite you to believe in Jesus. Recognize that your good works, that's not going to save you. Bible says it's like filthy rags in God's eyes. Your excuses, they're not going to save you. Your religiosity, that's not going to save you. No saint will save you. No penance will save you. What God expects is to recognize your sin and to put your faith in Him alone. Believe that Jesus died and rose again. Believe with all your heart that He lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that we should have died. He died as a substitute. Jesus hung on that cross because our sin deserved death, and Jesus took it all on the cross. And the invitation for you this morning is to believe in Him. Believe that what He did on the cross is sufficient to save you from your sin. Believe that you are saved by faith alone, not faith plus my good works. Believe that you're saved by Christ alone, not Christ plus some other saint. No, He is the only way, the Bible says. And the call for us is to believe in Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you don't have this hope, I want to tell you this good news, that this hope that I just spoke about can be yours. And the important decision that you need to make is to believe in Jesus, to give your life to Jesus, and to say, I'm a sinner. I deserve death. But I believe that Jesus paid it all on the cross. Those of us who have believed in Jesus, we grieve, but we grieve with hope. The glorious hope that we have is because Jesus died and rose again. His resurrection leads to our raising up. Our raising up will lead to us being with Him forever. And not just us, along with our loved ones who have fallen asleep, who have died believing in Jesus. And so even as we grieve now, even as we grieve the loss of our loved ones, the promise that the Bible gives us is that when Christ returns, He, Christ, will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Then we can say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul concludes the passage in verse 18. He says this, because of all these truths, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Verse 18, encourage one another with these words. Death is still a reality. Death will be a reality. If the Lord's coming delays, some of us or many of us might see our loved ones, and maybe even we might die one day. But if we believed in Jesus, and our loved ones have believed in Jesus, we have a beautiful hope. We grieve with hope, and we encourage one another with these very words of Jesus. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this hope that we have, a living hope, a hope that does not put us to shame. We thank you, O Lord, that Jesus died and rose again. And just like him, you have promised that those who believe in Jesus will rise again from the dead, be united together with others who believed in you. And most importantly, we will be united with you and will be with you forever in heaven. Help us to remember these truths. Help us to encourage one another with these truths. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.